Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Seems like we're all moving a little slow this morning. A little slow. Just a little slow. That's all right. That's all right. All right, let's go ahead and read our memory verse together. It should be on the screen behind you, or you can find it in your bulletin. All right, is everybody ready? Thank you. All right, here we go. Psalm 119, 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 11. Very good. Y'all sounded robust this morning repeating that verse. Way to go. All right. All right, Genesis 1:26. Through 27. We're going to read that in 28. We're going to read that in just a few minutes. Several weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast, a YouTube video by a very famous Christian speaker, one that I really respect and really like listening to, really great guy. And the one kind of major crux of his message, he was getting into it. He's about to make the transition into talking about his main idea of that day. And he made a question, he offered a question. And he said, in Jesus, we have a coherent answer to life's four greatest questions. And at that moment, when he stopped his sentence, I don't know if y'all seen that meme, and I don't know who the actor is, but I've seen it several times on the internet. And it's that meme where it's the guy thinking, and he has all those like math equations coming out around his head. Have y'all seen that one? That's what I felt like in that, in like the few seconds between he ended his sentence and then he told the answer. Stuff was going on. I'm like, oh man, what is he going to say? This is going to be great. What he said ended up being nowhere around what I was thinking, but his was better, right? And he said, there are four great questions in life. There's a question around origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Don't you think about that for a minute. If you really sat long enough, and we had enough time that we could give you a piece of paper and give you a pen, and then we could kind of all come back together and say, what are the most important questions in your life that you've either tried to answer or you want to try to answer today? When, you know, all those things. If you boiled them down, they would probably fit in one of those categories. Meaning, have you ever asked the question, what's my purpose in life? What am I doing? What gives me meaning? Right? We've all asked that question. Or what about morality? Is there any absolute truth? Can I just make up what's right for me? And if so, who gets to decide what's right? Why can't I decide what's right? That's a fair question. You know, kids want to know that all the time. Why I got to do that? Because I said so, right? It's a great answer. I used to hate it when my parents gave that answer. And I give it all the time now because it's an awesome answer. Right, but why do I get to say so? Why can't they say so? Who tells us what's right and who tells us what's wrong? And how do we figure those things out? And then destiny. Man, don't we all ask this question? Where am I going? What's going on in the future? What's going to happen when I die? One of the questions that's always captured my life is the first one, which is origins. Like, who am I? Why am I here? I've always been fascinated with the beginning of the Bible and Genesis and creation. I love watching National Geographic and Discovery Channel and all those kind of sciencey channels where they talk about creation and how the world was created. And it makes sense, right? Because we all have this inside of us that's hardwired into our DNA to know, want to know where we came from and who we are. And that's probably why the genealogy business, did y'all know that it is a multi-billion dollar industry right now? Multi-billion dollar industry. Every year, listen to every year, one out of every two adults in America does some type of research on their genealogy. That's amazing. Did you know that one company in the industry has over 40,000 hits on their website every single day, and the last year that they had records for in 2018 made $850 million. That's one website. All from people who are trying to answer their origin. Is that not crazy? Here's the interesting thing. We're not alone. Like, there's people all over the world are interested in where they came from and who they are and what's going on in their life, because every world religion, everyone that you look at, whether it's old or new or whether it's a major one or a minor one, almost all of them have origin stories, right? I remember reading one that a Native American tribe had back when the Native Americans were here. And it blew my mind because I had never heard an origin story outside of the Bible. But theirs was unique and it was different. It sounded crazy, but it was unique and different. And since then, I've realized that everybody is searching for the answer to the same question. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And here's the crazy thing. The Bible offers a truly unique perspective on where we came from. And it's in Genesis 1. 26 through and following. Let's read those verses with me just for a minute. And I want us to stop right after the first comma, or our second comma. Here's what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." This is the unique part about the Bible. I have read and done some research this week, and outside of the Bible, I don't know, and I could be wrong, and that's fine, and we'll talk about it if I am wrong, but I have yet to find a passage in another world religion that makes this statement right here. That means in some way, each and every one of us in the room today and those who will be listening to this video on the website when we get it posted, right? All of us are created in God's image. Think about that. That is amazing. That is a monumental claim. And we're going to talk about the implications of that here in just a minute. But think about that. All of us, look around the room. We all have different hair color. We all have different complexion. Some of us have freckles. Some of us don't. Some of us have blonde hair. Some of us act like we have blonde hair, right? Just kidding. Some of us have white hair, gray hair, black hair. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short, right? We all have different characteristics and qualities. And some of us process information differently. And some of us are skilled at some things. And some of us are skilled at other things. And we relate to people differently. But all of that, even amongst all of our differences, each and every one of us still bears the image of God. And here's what God says we're supposed to do with that in the following verses. He says, "So let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air." Heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creeping things that creep on the earth. Ooh, right? He keeps going in verse 27. And he says, then God said, 26 again. Can you get 27? There we go. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over everything that moves on the earth." And so God says, not only are you to be created in his image, and not only are you to be in his likeness, both man and woman, all of us, he says, but then you're supposed to go out and have dominion and rule and reign and display his character over all creation, right? And so God says, you're special, you're unique. Your mom and dad weren't lying when they were telling you that, right? As a kid, when you feel awkward and different and all of that, they weren't lying when they said, you're special, you're unique, because God said that, right? Here's the problem, though. There is a problem. And it comes a couple chapters later, because this bad thing enters the world and it still affects every one of us today, and it's called sin, right? And sin enters the world in Genesis chapter 3 and it messes up everything. And not only does it mess up our individual lives and our corporate lives, but it messes up how we reveal and display God's image in the world. And the rest of the Bible, listen to me, we talked about this at length for a long time a while back, but the rest of the Bible is the story of God bringing us back into relationship with Him so that we can reveal His image to the world. That's why the authors of the Bible say, listen, that's why the authors of the Bible say, at the right time or at the appointed time, Jesus came into the world. And this is why, to me, listen to me, this is why Jesus is the one and only. Because He does what nobody else could do. And He brings us back into relationship with the Lord so that then we can reveal and show and display God's image in us to the world. And I'm going to show you how He does it in five very simple ways. I know it's a lot. I know it's five, but hang with me. Number one, He interacts with people. He interacts. Kids, if you're writing down, you're taking your notes this morning, Jesus interacts with people. If you read the Gospels, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, here's what you will find. Jesus interacts with all types of people. Listen to me. He interacts with men, women, with Jews, with Gentiles, with the very poor and the very rich. He interacts with religious people and unreligious people. He interacts with people with big issues and little issues. He talks with people like Nicodemus, who's in some way very, very religious and educated and has money and wealth, and he's in the highest society. And then he talks on another level with a guy in a foreign country who's demon-possessed in a foreign land, and who is on neighbors and friends and relatives, don't have nothing to do with him. He's so bad he lives out in the caves and in the tombs. And Jesus interacts with both of those people. Jesus, at every point in the gospel, is interacting with someone no matter of where they're at. He even to the point of interacting with kids, which was highly different in His society. Jesus interacts with everybody. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself why Jesus does that? Jesus doesn't just interact with one type of person. He interacts with everybody. You want to know why? Because Jesus knows that every one of those people bears the image of God. And they have value, because intrinsic value, because they bear the image of God. Whether they're a man or a woman, rich, poor, high society, low society, a kid, foreign country, in Israel, it doesn't matter. All of them have value because all of them bear the image of God. Jesus interacts with everybody, with all people. Here's the second thing Jesus does. Not only does Jesus interact with people, but He serves people. Have you ever realized that about Jesus? Jesus does a lot of miracles, doesn't He? At one point, Jesus is so popular that the crowd literally wants to make Him king. And it's a large crowd. The picture that John gives us in this passage is that it's a large crowd, and they're kind of swarming around Jesus, and they're like, hey, Jesus, we want to make You king. And you know what John says? Jesus slipped out among them, and they didn't realize it, and went away. Have you ever asked yourself why Jesus didn't want to be king? Because let's be honest. Listen to me. Let's be honest, if it's me and you, we want to be king, right? Because that's just us. Like, hey, I mean, it's cool. You sit here and you can say, no, I wouldn't want to be king. Yes, you would. You wouldn't want to be, yes, you would. Yes, you would want to be king. You want to be queen. You want to do whatever. Rule over everybody. Everybody serve at my feet. But Jesus doesn't. Why? Have you ever asked yourself why? Because that wasn't His purpose. His purpose was to serve people. Mark 10:45. Well, I quoted this on Wednesday for Bible study people, so you can hear it again today. But in Mark 10:45, late in Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells us exactly what He's about. And here it is. It's on the screen. Read it with me. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus' goal was to serve people. That's why He healed people. That's why He healed people who didn't have anything, and that's why He healed people who had things. Why? Why Jesus healed people? Because He was about serving people. Well, why did Jesus serve people? Because people have value. Because they bear the image of God. And not only did Jesus interact with them, not only did Jesus serve them, but He did both of those things. Because here's the third thing. Jesus wants to have a relationship with people. Listen to me. You can go all over the world, and you can look at all the other world religions, and hear what you're going to find. Muhammad, he don't want to have no relationship with you. Allah doesn't want to have a relationship with you. He wants you to be an obedient robot and start holy war on anybody who's the infidel, who is kind of defined by anybody who's not like me, right? Which that's kind of, that's real ambiguous, right? Right? They don't want, Allah doesn't want to have a relationship with you. He just wants you to do. Hey, you know what? You can be a Buddhist. You can go look after Siddhartha Gautama. That's the Buddha. It's his real name. He don't want to have a relationship with you. Why? He's dead. And he don't want to have a relationship with you because his whole goal and his whole teaching is so that you can lose yourself in the great Nabisco. I was about to say Nabisco. That's funny. I've got to go get some Nabisco crackers at Walmart before the shelves get closed, right? In the great abyss, right? And you can experience nirvana, not the music, but whatever that is, according to him. He didn't want to have a relationship with you. He wants you to lose yourself. Hey, you can go look at all the Hindu gods, and there's thousands of them. They don't want to have a relationship with you. They just want you to do. The Bible is the only place where the God above, the creator of the universe, wants to have a relationship with you. And Jesus shows that to us as he walks around earth because he numerous times tells people, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. And then he tells you how you can do that and what that means. And not only that, does he interact with people and he serves people and he wants to have a relationship with people, but he makes that relationship possible even though it wasn't his fault as to why it wasn't possible. Right? Because Jesus, fourthly, he gives forgiveness to people. He gives forgiveness to people. He offers people forgiveness even when it wasn't his fault that they needed it. You ever thought about that? Like, isn't it really easy? Well, maybe it's easy. Here's what I'm saying. It's easy sometimes to ask for forgiveness when it's your fault. Sometimes it's hard to give it when it ain't your fault. But what does Jesus do? He willingly gives forgiveness to all who ask for it. Why? Because people have value, intrinsic value, because they are created in God's image. And fifthly, Jesus gives forgiveness because he wants to have a relationship, because he's a servant, and he interacts with people. And all of this comes to a head when Jesus is on the cross, right? Because Jesus not only gives it, he makes it available and he makes the way possible for forgiveness to even happen in the first place. In the first place. Thinking about this morning, as I was looking over my notes, and I couldn't help but remember kind of the quintessential epitome of what we're talking about today. It occurs when Jesus is on the cross. And you got to remember that Jesus has been beaten mercilessly, almost to the point of death. Crown of thorns on his head, walked carrying a cross, dehydrated, loss of blood. He's in a bad state. He gets nailed through his arms, or right here in his wrists to the cross, nails through his feet. He's up on the cross. He can barely breathe. And some of the first words, listen to me, some of the first words from the cross that come out of Jesus' mouth are these. They're not my words, because I got some other words that I probably can't say in church is probably what I would say. But here's what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did he do in that sense, in that situation? He interacted with people. People who didn't even necessarily want his interaction, he drew them in. He served them. Why? Because he wanted a relationship with them. And he offered them forgiveness even when they didn't even ask for it. Why? And how? Through his death. And in that moment, we see that Jesus is trying to bring people back into God's presence to have a relationship with him so they can go out and reveal God's image into the world more adequately, more correctly, so that other people can be drawn in. And that one moment to me encapsulates this all of what we're talking about this morning. Right? Origins, they're hugely important. And people around you, they may not be asking this in this exact way, but they're asking the question of why am I here? Who am I? What's going on in my life? And the reality is that all of us are created in God's image. And the only place that gives a coherent answer to all of that is in the person and work of Jesus, because He interacts with us, He serves, He wants a relationship, He forgives, and He made all of that possible through His death on the cross. Now here's the reality, and here's the truth. This means something for me and you today, right? So this is, we've got the intellectual part. Now let's move into the where the rubber meets the road, because this rubber's going to meet the road, right, soon in some of our lives, if not already. Obviously, it has a personal impact, personal application in our life, because we're created in God's image. You and I here this morning, everybody listening, you're created in God's image, and Jesus died on the cross for you and for me and for us and for all of us in here, and He makes that possible, and He gives us an answer to who we are, and we're made in His image, and He's done everything possible for that to shine through in our lives. But here's what that also means. That also means your neighbor's made in the image of God. Right? The good one and the bad ones. Right? The ones you like and you're cool with and you have over for dinner, and then the ones that you wish they'd moved to the other side of the county. Or you thought about moving over to the other side of the county because of them, right? Right? Your neighbors are made in the image of God. Those people you meet in Walmart and at Home Depot and everywhere, they are made in the image of God. I think our founding fathers got it absolutely right when they wrote in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. Men, women, boys and girls, it doesn't matter our ethnicity, our background, color of our skin, our race, or how we think, or who we are, what color hair we have, or eyes, or whatever. We're all made in God's image. But you know what that means? That means we should treat our neighbors as if they're made in God's image. Right? I remember I heard a story by Ravi Zacharias. Ravi's one of my heroes. He's written a lot of great things. In fact, kind of the basis for this message, for this message and the ones that we're going to have the next couple weeks are come out of a talk he had. But in another talk, he told a story that his mother told him that I've always remembered. It was when he began his speaking career, his mother told him a simple little proverb line. And he said, "Son, when you get out there and speak, just remember, you can't cut somebody's nose off and give them a rose to smell." And for a minute, I was like, "What does he mean by? What does she mean by that?" And then it hit me. You can't beat somebody up verbally, emotionally, social media-wise, across town, and then want to give them the sweet aroma of Jesus and expect them to be falling at your feet, wanting what you got. But how many times do we do that? How many times as believers do we treat our neighbors like trash, but then bash them because they don't come to church with us? That ain't how it works, friends. They're created in the image of God just like you are. Here's the other reality, and we're going to try to go further out on the limb this morning, okay? Because I think this is important. But not only are our neighbors created in the image of God, so are our enemies. Right? So are our enemies. They too are created in the image of God. We live in a very divided world politically, culturally, and globally. And there's a lot of people, let's be honest, we just disagree with. We wish they thought like us, but they don't. And in fact, some of them don't want us even to be here. If they could press the little red button and send a few nukes our way, they'd do it like that. They would. But them folks too, they are still created in God's image. So, Pastor, what you saying? We shouldn't, you know, have justice on these people and we just let them do whatever they want to? No, I ain't about to say none about that now. I'm just saying, listen to me. Come on now, let's be honest a minute. Before we go into our redneck tirade of let's nuke them all. Okay, come on now, come on. You've all thought it. Let's just all hit the button. Let's be done with this. But before we go there, listen to me. Let's just remember that they are created in God's image, and they will spend eternity in one place or another. And there's only two options, right? That doesn't mean we throw justice out the window. That doesn't mean we throw law and order out the window. That doesn't mean we don't have to follow rules. I'm not saying that. No free passes. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you need to remember that they too are created in the image of God. You remember, Miss Kathy, put Genesis 1:26 back up there for me for a second. Because I want us to read it again. Because what does it say? Let us make man in our image. Oftentimes we want to erase man and put, God said let us make Americans in our image and everybody else ain't. That's not what it said. Let's be real. It says let us make man in our image. And then he says on later that they did that. Right? All of us. So before we go out on our tirade, and before we blast anybody on social media and on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, around town at the store, just remember, everybody is created in God's image. And Jesus, when He died on the cross, He died on the cross so that everybody had the opportunity to be brought back into relationship with God so that they too could reveal God's image into the world. Origins. Hugely important. It's a question you've asked and I've asked and people in your sphere of influence have asked as well. And the Bible, listen to me, gives a very unique and different answer to the question than what the world is going to give your friends and your neighbors and people you interact with. The Bible says that we are made in God's image, that we have intrinsic value that no other part of creation has. And that Jesus died to secure that, to forgive us and redeem us so that we might reveal that image more fully and more brightly and more clearly in the world. All right? Origins, hugely important. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you graciously created us in your image. And Lord, we hold a special place in your creation. But Lord, with that comes great responsibility. With that comes the responsibility to use it wisely and to use it to honor you. Lord, there's a lot of things we can do in life. But Lord, the greatest thing that we can do is to glorify and serve you. So Lord, I pray that no matter what stage of life we're in, where we're at, or what's going on, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to bear your image, to glorify and serve you in our area of influence. And Lord, if we're not doing that today, Lord, I pray that you would draw us back to you, Lord, so that we can start that again. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.